buckle up, Buttercup. Live from Gloucester, Massachusetts. Podcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to the Gloucestercast Podcast, a production of Joey Shimataro and Good Morning Gloucester Media. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the show with your host, Joey Shimataro, and his crew of merry castaways. No piping clovers will be intentionally harmed in the production of this podcast.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Big cast. Who's behind that? Let me guess who's behind that. I'm guessing. Who wants to take a guess? Go ahead, Pat.
I'm going with Scotty.
I'm going with Scotty as well. Paul?
I'm going to go with Chris.
All right. Fess up. Who did it? Of course. All right. We have Pat and Jimmy Dalpiaz. Pat is helping me out with the graphics and the chat. We have
good morning.
Paul Horvitz.
Good morning, Gloucester.
We have DJ Scotty Mack.
Hola. Good morning, Gloucester.
And we have Mr. Chris McCarthy.
Yeah.
With a fresh, show him your lips, buddy.
It's all yep. better.
Yeah. Yep. There it is. Les.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you for sharing.
I missed my opportunity to make McCarthy really big right there.
He's big. You don't have to be. Yeah.
Big. So we have the good news so far is we have a little bit of easing on the COVID restrictions as far as the restaurants go. He's already off. What happened to him? And that's as of Monday night, establishments will be able to stay open past 9:30, which I'm sure will be very helpful. I talked to Zach Sears this morning. Friday night, they had a wait from 5:30 to like, I don't know if it was 7:30 or 9:30. They were so busy, they had a wait. So that's great. We went to 525 last night. That place was mobbed. So I think that the restaurants that stayed open are really doing well because of the restaurants that closed. I think that's my guess anyway.
That's a good guess. Joe.
We're going to go with that. And a little bit later, we have Grim Drops on, who I'm a huge fan of. We discovered Grim Drops through when 1623 Studios had their grand opening. They had him in the back doing like a painting. I don't know if you'd call it a painting or an illustration. I think more of an illustration. And he's going to be on. What's that?
He had black markers, right?
He had black markers. But he also, if you follow him on Instagram, grimdrops.com, you will see that he does murals, painting, and stuff like that as well. He's very, very talented. We're going to talk to him around 9:30. Again, Jimmy. You are tasked with, if I don't ask him about the death row sub and meal, your job is to remind me. What is this? Want to become famous?
I don't know what that is.
All right, get that out of there. You know how to do that, right? I think you can click on it.
I think so, yeah.
And remove it. No. I don't know. Whatever.
Go. Oh, no.
No.
I'm going to read a little bit of these right here. And
congratulations. You're pregnant, Joey.
What's that?
Congratulations. You're pregnant.
I'm preggers. First off, before I do that, I'm going to do a little rundown of our friends that are with us right now. Arlie Pat shared the podcast. We always appreciate people that share the podcast. Brenda Grimes Davis is with us. Gail Favaza Dayeso is with us. Joey Foote is with us. Why can't this? Okay.
All the surgery put off.
Good morning, David. And Mike Susan. Good morning, Susan.
Mike Favaz is with us. Paul Ryan O'Brien's with us. Rob Kluwitz with us. Paul Gamber Jr. is with us. Pauline is with us. Barry Hallett's with us. David Leader's with us. Brenda Shockey Leahy's with us. Alicia Cox is with us. Alicia is with us. That's very, very exciting. Eileen Kelly. And Michael Bertolino, one of the winners from last week. Susan Gold Colbiello is with us.
Good morning, Pauline.
Did everybody get their prizes that were supposed to get their prizes last week?
I still have, I think it's Ed Collard's prize.
Okay, his daughter's supposed to come pick it up. Okay, so
Joe,
right here.
Joe, is Eileen?
Oh, let me make myself big.
Joe, is Eileen the person?
All right, so
Joe,
one second, guys. I'll be right back with you. See this right here? Mm-hmm. If you send a self-stamped addressed envelope to Joey, care of Joey, 95 East Main Street, Gloucester, Massachusetts. So I'm going to show you how this works. Oh, I love it when people send notes too. So it's 95 East Main Street, Gloucester, Mass. 01930. You do that, and I will send. Here's this self-stamped addressed envelope. I put a Good Morning Gloucester sticker in it. We mail it back to you, and you get a free sticker. I'm going to read, and let me read the name. Kathy Richard from Pleasant Street, Granby, Mass. Granby? I've never, yeah. Have anybody, do you know where's Granby?
Next to Danvers.
No, it is not.
Yeah.
No, it is not in Danvers.
I don't know where it is, but I've heard of it because I do transcription work for the Historical Society, and that comes up.
Okay. Hi, Joey. Would love
I'm
a good morning.
Guess it might be in the Cape Cod area, but I don't have a clue.
Okay. Well, thank you for your...
It's an hour and 56 minutes from Gloucester.
It's out near Holyoke.
Belchertown.
Yep.
Wow.
Western North Man. Okay. Thank Western you, Eileen. Man. Good morning, Jeff. Thank you, Brenda.
Hi, Joey. Would love a Good Morning Gloucester. Would love a Good Morning Gloucester sticker. Love your website and the Northeast Barbecue one too. I'm a teacher in Western Mass and start my day every day with the good news from Gloucester in my classroom. Take care. Hope all is well with you and your family. Thanks, Kathy. Kathy Richard, thank you so much for that.
Does that mean that means she's teaching her kids the stuff that we talk about on this podcast?
Talking about your herpes scabs is probably the topic that she taught people about on Friday.
On a talk with the child.
She must be teacher of the year.
All right. The next one up is Mr. Warren P. Goodman from Brookline, Mass. Self-stamped address. Did it right. Warren. Oh, he got the sticker on there. I mean, he's got the stamp on there. Joey, please send me a Gloucester bumper sticker. Thank you, Warren. All right, Warren, you get a sticker too.
Joey, do you ever have somebody send an envelope without the stamp and you're forced to spend the money?
No, they go right in the trash. Okay. I won't even look at them.
They got to follow the rules.
You got to follow the You get a sticker. You get a sticker. You get a sticker. You get a sticker. So
now what he does, Scotty, he sends it to me and he says, Jimmy, take care of this. Go get an envelope.
You actually have to drive to Granby to deliver it, right?
Yes.
I like it when we're all in the same room because Jimmy's my administrative guy and you know he takes care of things. So Pat, let's do our Pat has compiled the 2000. You didn't go into 2021, right?
These do include last week.
No. The answer is no.
She can't just go with it. She can't fucking go with it. She's, you know what it is? And that's why Pete, she's so well respected.
Yeah, I have integrity. I'm probably the one in that
teacher's. It's 2000 and it'll be done. She's so her standards are this high right here. You can
Where did that come from, Joseph?
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. I take that as a compliment.
This is the 2000 compilation of the death row sub and death row meal results.
Well, this is the official tally sheet.
You're killing him.
I know. I know.
Was that audited by Ernst & Young?
It's on its way.
What did we fucking talk about? Like, why is this in the show notes? Like, what do we talk about? Well, where am I off? Explain where I'm off, Pat. What did I do wrong?
I don't know where to begin answering that question, but the current sub tally, and I can't do the meals because there isn't a clear runaway favorite going on with the meals. The meals are all over the place, okay. And they're wonderful. The subs are a little easier to tally up. The two subs, I think you'll know that Virgilio's is in the lead, solid lead, with 18 choices, some of them unspecified. But of those 18, can anybody think they know what the top sandwich is?
St. Joseph's.
St. Joseph's.
Yeah, absolutely. St. Joe's or the chicken St. Joe's is 18 or 8 out of 18 of those. So that's the top choice of subs. Destino's is in a second place with 11 choices, and 5 of those are some form of cheesesteak. So cheesesteak from Destino's in some form, a St. Joe's from Virgilio's are in the lead. The other places that get mentioned are Scalfani's, of course, Sugar Mag's, Leonardo's, Willow Rest, Yellow Sub,
yes!
Jeff's, and a couple of others have single choices. So the Chicken St. Joe's from Virgilio's, definite winner. Followed closely by Destino's.
Not the Chicken St. Joe's, the St. Joe's. St. Joseph's sandwich.
They are actually tied.
Even number of people actually specified Chicken St. Joe's as St. Joe's? That's very interesting to me.
Where is the McDonald's Big Mac?
There's a subculture within Virgilio's.
I had no idea. A lot of rogue things. Pat, for one thing, we need to get straightened away for the record. Are you, in fact, wearing a kimono right now?
This is actually Jim's Christmas present to me.
Is it a kimono?
No, it's a short top, like a short covering.
Did Jimmy wash that for you?
Not yet. No. We won't be doing that.
Paul, we might as well get into it right now. We might as well.
Do you do your own laundry?
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Yep.
Scotty, we know you do your own laundry. Joe?
Wait. I thought we had this discussion. We can't assume that Scotty does his own laundry.
I do my own laundry, Jim.
Okay, there.
And Chris doesn't want Charlene to know any of this.
Nope, she's still sleeping, so she won't know this. I don't do my own laundry. Joe doesn't do his own laundry.
Thank you, Alicia.
I gotta say, the reason why I do my own laundry, not because I want to in the first place, but I was traumatized as a kid. My mother washed the reds with the whites, and all my T-shirts became pink, and I had to wear them to school, and I was traumatized. From that point forward, I think she did it on purpose. So
that's pretty much how we ended up doing what we do.
I do my own laundry, yes.
Pat, I have a little request. That you don't accidentally stand up, because I'm worried that thing might be a little short. You might not be wearing anything on the bottoms there. And
I promise I will not stand up. I promise I won't stand up accidentally. If I stand up, it will be on purpose.
Okay.
I'm worried about Jimmy standing up.
Yeah, that would be more. If an eagle flies across the window out here, I'm gone.
I'm not standing up, McCarthy.
The Eagle Banter. So there's that.
I throw you kids in the classroom in the western part.
I'll take the zero. I'll take the zero.
Mr. Paul Horowitz, you wanted to talk about Turner Seafood Takeout.
Yeah, so unlike some of you who get to go out a lot, since I work in a school, I don't get to go out a lot. Gotta watch where we go. So we've been exploring a lot of the local takeouts, and two home runs from Turner's. They're lobster risotto cakes, which are really incredible. And than we did a takeout of the fish and chips, and it's the first time I've ordered fish and chips anywhere here where they asked if I wanted malt vinegar for the fries, and I thought that was amazing.
Yeah. We got Turner's this week too.
Huge fans of the, and the best part about, I think, of the Turner Seafood fish and chips, they package them properly.
Oh yeah.
The 5 pound fish box.
Yeah. With the little green and white thing underneath to keep it sort of moist.
Yeah. And they're, I love their coleslaw. Their coleslaw is my favorite.
Yeah. But lobster risotto cake, I mean, you can only eat one. It's amazing.
I think that maybe Monday or Tuesday, we might have to try that out. But I think that their fish and chips is the best in town.
Yeah.
There was only one other person competing with them as far as that type of beer battered fish and chips that I know of. And that was the Brew Pub, which is now defunct.
Mm-hmm. So I had a little bonus on the call when I ordered them. The guy says, "Hi, it's Turner's. It's Jeff." And I say, "Hi, Jeff. It's Paul Horowitz." And he said, "Are you the guy whose pictures are on Good Morning Gloucester?"
Hey, nice.
It's awesome. Okay.
You're a celebrity.
Joe, before we go any further, I just want to remind people to hit shared and share this podcast today to try to win a prize. Is that correct, Joe?
Yeah. And Scotty is giving away a date with him. He's Gloucester's most eligible bachelor.
Share the podcast. We want people to actually win a prize, and that's not a prize at all, Joe. Trust me.
No, you're a prize, kid. You're a prize. So,
what is in today's drawing?
What's that?
What is our prize today?
Well, Scotty is generously donating a date with Scotty, as far as I know.
Thank you, Paul. We have another bookstore gift certificate. Thank you, Paul.
Welcome.
Paul Horowitz donating a bookstore of Gloucester gift certificate. So if you share the podcast, you have to share it on Facebook. We had a little problem last week. Someone didn't understand how to do it. You have to hit the share button on Facebook. And then once you do that, you type shared in the show notes. I mean, in the comments. And then you're entered to win. So thank you for being
up to 9 with Mike's share.
Oh, nice. Thank you for that generous donation.
Paul, we have a couple of seconds. Would you talk about the weather again and what you were telling us?
Oh, yeah. So I live right across the street from the Anisquam Yacht Club, and there's an anemometer or weather station on the roof of the yacht club. And so this morning, right now, it's reading 22 degrees with a wind chill of -5.
Oof.
And the wind, the average wind speed for the last 10 minutes has been 31 miles an hour. The sustained average gust has been, went to 50 miles an hour.
What was it not too long ago? Was that recent?
No, this is right now. This is right this minute. It's,
wow.
It's 30. It's sustained at 31. It's gone to 35 now. Yeah. And a gust of 50. It's crisp. Yeah. I think if I go sailing, I'll put woolen sails on the boat.
So what you're saying is it's a perfect day for Wingersheek.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You'll have the beach to yourself.
And you said there was whitecaps in Lobster Cove.
Yeah, the whitecaps. And actually, the little cove beside my, just in front of my house here, is just full of whitecaps this morning. And that, we never see that.
Wow. It must be just the right direction coming straight in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the right tide, I think, too.
Yeah. Well, we got a bunch of people.
Yeah, some people have lost power, probably due to the wind.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Michael Bertolino says he lost power.
Ed, that's a good one.
Jeff Romero. Oh, wait. Did you put that up there, Pat? I'll put it up there.
Hang on.
No, I got it. Jeff Romero says he shared it, but if he wins, give Scotty Mac's date to another person, please.
Thanks, Jeff. I really appreciate that. And I don't blame you at all. Trust me.
I love it. All right. We went to McCarthy's and I and Mick LaFada and his wife went to 525 last night. And we don't get to 525 too often at being East Gloucester people. But their Facebook or their social media person has done such a great job posting pictures day after day of like their incredible meals. We made it a priority, and I'm really glad that we did. Chris, you want to take that? You want to take this from here?
Yeah, I got a new favorite clam chowder. Joey and I started off with their clam chowder. It was a cup, but it was, looked more like a bowl to me, but filled with clams, and it was just the right thickness, not too thick, but not too watery. I know Charlene had the steak tips. I think, what were they? The Dr. Pepper soy sauce steak tips. She said that they were unbelievable. She got them on a salad. Me, Joey, and Suzanne split two pizzas. The pizzas are outstanding there. But it was just a great vibe. Kirsten, our waitress, was top
profession.
She was, yep. My water glass was never half full.
Yeah,
she was constantly
half empty.
What's that?
Is it ever half empty?
It was half empty, but never half full. the girls had the nachos as an appetizer, and again, they do the nachos right, like Minglewood, where they put them on a platter, so you know the cheese and the toppings get on top of the majority of the chips. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of restaurants piling the chips on top of one another and putting the toppings on top, because by the time you get to the middle,
yeah,
no more toppings. But we got to meet the owners. Joe, I know you know the
Tammy and Larry. Tammy and Larry, and they were very gracious. And on top, there's a couple restaurants in town that check off all the boxes. That place checks off all the boxes. The decor is awesome. It's a cozy, beautiful spot. Like, you know, I don't know how you could improve that room. It's a great room. The food is fantastic. The prices are right. And the service is top notch.
Yeah.
What's that?
No, the other important thing is their bathrooms were clean. I had to use the bathroom twice for some reason. I think it was the backup from earlier in the day. I'm very impressed with the whole bathroom scene, which is important.
My father would never go back to a restaurant if it had a dirty bathroom.
Yeah.
And the best food in town, he just wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, it speaks volumes to, like, you know, the whole going down the list of how they, you know, handle their food and everything else, probably.
And that was no reflection of their food. Like I said, it was
earlier in the day.
What we did to ourselves earlier in the day, that I think it had an impact on me later in the evening.
You know what I really enjoy about 525 is that not only the service is great, but the table side manner from the ownership. They come by and they really make you feel like you're supposed to be there, like it's a hometown thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Larry Rolosi has a long time family history of being great restaurateurs in town. Peter Tarantino says 525 has great short ribs. And Larry, when he came out to talk to us, he says, I wish someone would have ordered the short ribs. And had I known that it was a thing, I would have totally ordered the short ribs. So we're going to have – so now, I guess that was brilliant marketing by Larry when he came out there, because now
you'll
I feel
be
like
back.
I'll be back and get the short ribs. What is that? Oh, okay.
We went to Antique Table this weekend. We had not been there in a little while. We had dinner there Friday night. We enjoyed our experience very much. Again, like you said, the manager came over to greet us, Oscar. That was really nice. And our waiter, Victor, did a great job. And we had a lovely, lovely meal. It was. We hadn't been there in a little while, so I'm looking forward to going back.
Yeah.
Bread is amazing.
What did you order there, Pat?
I had chicken Florentine. The chicken breast was very thin, and I like it. I like it that way. So that was really tasty with red peppers and spinach. And Jim had shrimp scampi, I think.
Yep.
And we had I had the chicken vegetable soup. which was had a tomato base, big chunks of chicken, and lots of veggies. And Jim had a prosciutto rollatinis for an appetizer. So, nice. Yeah, we also had dessert. So it was, and we were sitting by the fire.
And you didn't mention the drinks.
My martini was, my lemon drop was in a chilled glass. That was awesome.
Great.
Joe, a shout out to Annie. Annie was sitting right behind us. She had the chicken risotto last night. She actually acknowledged us and said that she was a huge Good Morning Gloucester fan and that she'd be watching today. And I promised that I'd do a shout out to her. So Annie, nice meeting you yesterday.
Nice to meet you.
I don't know Oscar's name. I just know Oscar. So I don't know if it's the person that they're asking about here. But he was wonderful.
So I don't know if you know this, but Annie is actually a huge Bruins fan. And since a few weeks ago, we had Hannah Ramon on for the Philadelphia Flyers, and we beat them the other night.
Yeah.
In a shootout where we were down 2-0. Is that right, Joe?
That's correct. Yeah. And I was texting with Barry Hanrahan just before the game. And to be honest with you, I didn't stay up for the shootout because when we went down 2-2, I went
to bed. Well, they played last night too, didn't they? Hey, Alexa,
yes. I think they did.
Score of the Bruins.
I'm the one that knows this. Yes, I saw it on the screen. We were somewhere.
Yes.
Oh, we lost 7-6.
Disorder characterized by the presence of two or more distinct personality states.
I got something going on here. Oh, I had a little something got picked up on like Alexa.
Oh, because I did. I just asked Alexa what the score of the game was.
So it went on my device that I keep the show notes on. Just went off.
Berto says they beat him 6-1 last night.
Oh, yes. 6-1. I couldn't see it. I thought it was 7-6 that we lost 7-6, but we won 6-1.
Somebody's asking to hear comments about the safety of eating at these restaurants. When we were at the antique table, we felt very safe. The tables were distanced and separated as well by a plastic movable barrier. So we felt, and all the staff was appropriately masked. Everybody, all the customers followed the rules as I understand them, which is to keep your mask on unless you're eating or drinking. And I felt very safe at the antique table, as I have at all of the other restaurants we've been at recently.
The staff that brought people in, it was they were very they definitely had a plan. They definitely knew, well, I can do this table, but you can't, because some people were coming in saying, oh, I want to sit at that table, and they corrected them right away. No, I'm sorry, due to the COVID, these are the tables that we have and this kind of stuff. So I was very impressed by that. They were sticking to a plan, not like, yeah, okay, just sit there.
I would say when we at 525 last night, they had a bottle of sanitizer when you got in. And the owner, Tammy, also asked us not only to wear the masks to the table, but when the server came to the table, if you could please put your mask on to protect the servers as well, which is little different experience. So they're going above and beyond as well. I felt very comfortable last night.
I think the restaurants are making great efforts to stay safe and keep their customers and their staff safe.
Yeah. Yeah, no question about it. When the Bruins scoring 6 goals last night is really nice to see, because the big talk was that they haven't had any offense, any scoring. So that was really nice.
You think Barry told the team to let the Bruins win just for Good Morning Gloucester?
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
I think that's what happened. Is Barry listening today, or is he in hiding? I mean, we got to roast him. I mean, we beat him twice.
He's looking for a fourth liner. I don't know, Chris.
Yeah, Barry, I'm ready. I'm ready to suit up, baby.
Lace him up.
Where are you, Barry? Barry.
That was terrible. So Chris and Jimmy can attest to my – so I had a premonition yesterday morning, early in the morning, 2:30 in the morning. I was in bed, shot up, shot up out of a deep sleep, and I had this, I had a thing where I thought about, I was thinking about the late 70s, early 80s Gloucester High School hockey team and how intense the games were during that period and the rivalries with Winthrop and Saugus and I was trying to think if there was any other local sports teams that generated that kind of insanity as far as the crowds went. And I couldn't think of anything. So we're not, Mike, we're not going to talk about the 80s GHS hockey today because I'm going to have I was on the phone with Paul Gigoloni, a bunch of guys from Jimmy Douglas, Mike Frontero, a lot of the players, and I texted Barry Clifford this morning. We're gonna put together next week. We're gonna put together a podcast talking and to reminisce about those games and how wild they were. All day long I was on, we were together, but I was talking on the phone with these guys trying to line up the perfect number of, guys that would, I don't want the players that would kind of like try to make, tamp it down. I want the guys to tell the great stories. So
Joe, I went to some tennis matches back in the early 80s, and I'm telling you, those were pretty rowdy too. So I would get a bunch of the tennis players from the Gloucester High School tennis team. I mean,
is that when they stopped wearing all white?
It was on the Underhills tab. The Underhills.
Yeah, I want to see the fish that they threw on the tennis courts. Okay, what was it? Sardines? What was it?
Nice, Jimmy. Very
piping
well.
Plovers. They threw piping plovers onto the court.
Dead piping plovers. Dead piping plovers. Yeah. Yeah.
It's and the size of a tennis ball.
And bald eagle chicklets. little baby chicks. And baby snowy owlets. The owlets. We have high standards on that.
Joey, I've got something that I want to ask the Merry Castaways here. Hey guys, this may or may not have happened when we've done stuff before, but if you're going and driving somewhere and you have to go to the bathroom, do you go to a place and still order food if they're saying you're not allowed to use the bathroom? And or you just go and try and find another place? How do you guys do this?
All right, back up. Back up. Back up. Let me fucking set this.
Well, I'm asking the castaway now.
No. You see, you're misrepresenting the situation.
Jimmy, are you pushing buttons right now?
He's pushing buttons. He's a button pusher.
That's another high treason offense.
Oh!
Scotty, I know where you sleep, so you better cut it out.
So see the size of this right here? See the size of this? It's like 40 ounces, right? I had a 40-ounce iced tea. And we had some business to take care of. It was a long road trip. So on the way back, I had the urge that I had to pee. And we also may or may not have had the urge, we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, for a McDonald's Dairy Whip ice cream, the vanilla ice cream. So I figured I'd kill two birds with one stone. I'm like, find the next McDonald's. We get to the McDonald's, so when you go there and you have to pee, don't you feel funny if you just go right to the bathroom you're breaking the law? Like, you don't you need to like say like I got a place to order first? They know I'm not just a scummy guy. I gotta go to the bathroom.
First things first.
Yeah. Well, that's how I felt. So I ordered. So listen to this. This is crazy. This is crazy. So I ordered the ice creams. When I ordered the ice creams, I was kind of hopping off. I didn't realize at the time that you couldn't use the bathroom, right? I'm doing the pee-pee dance, right? And then I see on the fucking screen, it was a deal I couldn't pass up. It was two quarter, $3. So I ordered it. I ordered. I'm not proud. So I ordered the 2 quarter pounders. I said, no, I need 3. I get this 3 guys in the car. They go, well, it's going to be $10. I go, how does it go from $3 to $10? She goes, well, if you get 1, it's an odd number. You have to order the 2. I'm like, well, give me 3. So I go into my pocket to get the change, and I don't have the right change. I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. Half of my money was on the counter. I had probably like $27 in change on the counter. And I got to go. Like, it just came over me. So she goes, you can't use the bathrooms are closed, sir. I says, and the look of my eyes was gone. the fear came over me like you've never fucking seen. So I ran out. The money's on the counter. The people behind me. I'm like, I'm gonna have pee running down my leg. I don't know what to do. So if I can run out now, it's in this complex where there's no bat. It's in the middle of the shopping plaza. There's no like back where there's woods
protection.
Yeah. Jimmy's car was parked. So I had 2 choices, pee in my pants or try to go in front of Jimmy's car and crouch down and pee. So I get down, there's cars from like a Wendy's drive through facing me. I'm like, I got fucking money. I take the beaner out and I start to pee, and fucking Jimmy lays on the horn. I jumped. The pee goes all over my hands, all over his hood of his car, and the fucking joke is on them because I got their fucking sandwiches. I went in and I paid. I got the sandwiches with my pee hands. And I gave them the fucking quarter pound. So they thought that they were fucking getting one over on me. Yeah, I got over on them. And I hope you enjoyed the ice creams with the pee hands, too.
Yo, you gave them the quarter pounder at that point, or they gave you the quarter pounder?
Yeah. But Jimmy also, pee hands. Jimmy also put the car in drive.
He bumped me.
And bumped Joey.
Yeah.
So that was even more pee.
Thank you. Hey, our guest is here. We've been so rudely keeping our guest in the queue. We're going to bring him on right now and right here. Good morning, Grim. Do we need to call you Grim Drops? Is this how it goes?
No, my name, Mike from Aldi's, my actual name. Grim Drops, sort of in the art world. People see my work around, know me by that. But no, I was enjoying listening to the stories behind backstage.
Well, I'm a huge fan of your work. We discovered you at the 1623 Studios.
Yeah.
When you were there doing your thing, and then I followed you on Instagram, and just a huge fan of your work. And it just seems like you're getting bigger and bigger, doing big murals now. And can you explain was this a hobby that has become a profession, or why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started and where you are today?
Yeah, so I went to Montreal College of Art after graduating high school. I went to the prep, and 01 to 05 went to Montserrat. I graduated from there. I did a bunch of sort of creative jobs. I worked in screen printing, as a graphic designer, patent illustrator, so just sort of all over the place with that. My main focus on my work now is murals and branding. So I really got into murals just a few years ago during the Salem Arts Festival. Painted my first mural. I really enjoyed it. And then I did a couple freebies for local nonprofits in Salem, Beverly area where I lived. And it just sort of snowballed from there. I have more workouts, so more name recognition. People have been sort of reaching out to me. It just sort of naturally, I graduated like 15 years ago, so it was not a quick process, you know?
Wow, but, yeah.
Wow. Over time, it's sort of beginning to snowball. And so this is what I do full-time, finally.
So Jeff Weaver is a local Gloucester local artist. I'm not sure if you know who he is, but you do know
him. I know his work. So, I know his work, for sure.
Yeah, well, when he started out, he was doing murals all over town. For very little money, like almost like I'm gonna guess, I may not be accurate, But I just to illustrate the point that almost like hourly rate, you know, he has these huge murals around town, and now he's like a celebrated artist in town whose paintings command, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, probably so. And you know, you have to get yourself out there somehow. Can you describe, you know, your would you call them illustrations? Because weren't you using markers at the 1623?
Yeah, at 1623, I used marker. Part of what I do, so I did live art at 1623. So basically, if there's an event, whatever, if the host or for the business that's having the event or the party, if they want to give me some ideas to incorporate into a live piece of art, be it a painting or for this at 1623, I used paint markers. So it's just a way that I can get more done in an hour, for example, and it's going to be dry and ready to hand off to, if they want to do a raffle, a giveaway, whatever, I'm going to be able to have a finished piece of art quicker doing using a paint marker, for example, versus paint. So yeah, you have to take into account the space you're working in, how much time you have allotted to, you know, do a finished piece, all these sort of variables come into play.
So you're doing one right now is it at Montserrat College of Art?
Yeah. My friend Brett Mason and I, he's another local artist, Beverly, Mass, Montserrat graduate. Yeah, we just finished a mural install over there at one of their buildings. And then it's going to actually continue to change throughout the next two months. My friend Brett's going to go back for two individual times on his own, and he's going to do his own thing, his own interpretation. And I'm going to go back two individual times on my own and do my own sort of thing. So the thing at Montserrat that Brett and I just did was a combination of two completely different styles. He's much more very painterly, fine artist. I'm much more graphic, bold, illustration sort of style, like you said.
Right.
It was cool to see those two styles come together.
It's very cool. And so when you have a huge space like that, how do you how can you make it proportional? Like, because you don't have it you can't have your scene like right in front of you. It's out of your arm's reach and your focal reach when you're right up to it. So how do you get that spacing on such a huge canvas, like a wall?
Yeah, so what I do, it's actually really, to learn how to do it, it's really, really simple. Usually I'll just get a photo of the wall or the canvas, whatever I'm painting on. I have an iPad Pro. I do all my sketches for final art on the iPad. So I have a photo of the wall, canvas, whatever. That's imported into my iPad Pro and the program I use to do my work, paint, sketch, whatever. And then I just draw directly onto that area, whatever size the wall is, plug that into my projector, project it onto the wall. It's already completely proportioned to the size of the wall because that's what I'm using to draw, make my sketch on. Project it onto the wall. Yeah, it's not, then I just trace it out. And then at that point with my kind of work, because it's so kind of bold and, you know, red's here, blue's here, yellow's here, it's not like painterly. It's at that point, it's paint by number. Essentially,
right,
that I designed, but
I wish I could try and find. I'll go to your website now. Maybe I'll just hold my camera up to the screen because I really want people to get an idea of some of the stuff that you do.
I emailed you. I know it was the last minute, Joe, and I apologize. I did send you over a few pieces. I emailed you a few pieces.
Oh, you did. Okay, so I'll do that. I would have been able to.
As Joey's pulling that up, I have a question for you. So I'm asking for a friend. A friend of mine's wife is turning 40 this year, and he really wants a nude photo of her, or like silhouette. Can you do that type of work?
Charge extra.
What's that?
Charge extra for that.
You charge extra? Yeah, well, money is no object to this guy.
Yeah. Have him my email. I'll talk to him.
Okay, that'd be great. I'll tell my buddy. I'll tell my buddy that you do that kind of work.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Joe. Joe, yeah. He does that kind of work.
Oh, great. This would be great. Thank you so much. All right, I'm going to bring one up right here. Chris, let's see if Chris if anybody recognizes this one. I don't have it loaded into my. If I had it loaded in, I would be able to put the whole screen. But let me work on it. Okay, let me go here. All right, ready? Who can recognize that?
I recognize that. Plate.
Yeah, Flip the Bird.
Flip the Bird.
That place is awesome. So I'm gonna bring it back to Mike. Hold on. And where am I? Get me off of there. Now, so you did a mural at Flip the Bird.
Yeah, I did one in there. So I actually designed the logo as well, all the branding for Flip the Bird.
That's cool.
And then that was the owners, Tori and Anthony. They own Marino's also at the Cummings Center in Beverly. So that mural that you just put up, that's actually in there. They just switched over Marino's to a Flip the Bird full time. That's where the sandwich started. Actually, every Friday they would do the fried chicken sandwiches
Wait, back up.
Yep.
I might have missed. I was concentrating on the comments. Did you say that Flip the Bird moved?
No.
But what's
the deal with Flip the Bird? They just started a new location about 2 weeks ago, and it was second in a location? Restaurant that they.
It's a second.
They
second,
have three okay. locations.
Three.
They have three okay. locations now. So, they have two in Beverly, one in Plumstead.
Okay.
So they've got one downtown, one on Cabot Street in Beverly, one at the Cummings Center now in Beverly. Wow. The one at the Cummings Center, the same are the owners of Flip the Bird. They ran a restaurant there called Marino's for like the past decade, I think. And then they just recently turned that over into a Flip the Bird. So that's going to be like their test kitchen, their headquarters, I guess, of Flip the Bird. So we did a big mural in there, and hopefully in the other restaurants too, they'll be doing one as well.
So I have a question for you on the murals. Just recently, as of yesterday, and I've been a big fan of Bonefish Harry's. Do you have anything to do with the murals at Bonefish Harry's in Beverly?
I do. I actually sent Joey a sample of that too.
I can pull it up.
So we did throughout Beverly and Salem, a lot of areas during the spring and summer, so people could eat outdoors, safely and comfortably. All these Jersey barriers went up. That one is at a private home in Salem. Oh. I did that a couple years ago. I did for Bones for Carries. We did these Jersey barriers, basically painted a mural on the front of, I think, six Jersey barriers in front of Bonefish Harry's on the interior of the restaurant. My friend Katron actually did a lot of the work in there. I think she did the murals.
I have a question for you, Mike. Every artist that, they always do great work, but every artist has like a favorite work that they did. What's your favorite though that you're most proud of? I mean, you do great stuff, but what's the one that you feel like you've done, you're proud of?
Most proud of. I think honestly, the one I just did for Flip the Bird at the one at the Cummings Center. I'm really proud of that. Also, one of the main reasons is because I also got to paint a mural incorporating a logo that I designed, which is kind of well known around the area and well liked. So that was, that's probably my top most important one for me so far.
What was really cool, Mike, was I don't know where I saw it, if it was Facebook or Instagram, I scrolled through and saw you with the working on that logo from inception to final, and how you started out with like a chick, and it was they're all sketches, and then how it came to the underneath with the feathers, and it's just I love your style as far as like the bold strokes and the thick outlines. Bat strokes, I guess you would call them. But it's just really unique. Someone asked, are you collaborating with the Cape Ann Museum on a mural?
I'm collaborating with Cape Ann Museum. It's kind of under wraps what I'm doing. It's more geared towards the kids primarily. But yes, I am doing some work in Cape Ann
Museum. Wow. So you're
very excited about that.
Joe, I have a question.
I need to get some work in Gloucester. I've got I did a little piece, you know, my parents have some of my work, obviously, but I've got work all over Beverly, Salem. I don't know. Yeah, Lynn, I've got work. Nothing in Gloucester yet.
So. Mike, I have a question for you. Actually, that kind of ties into my question. Do you ever drive by a spot and you're like, man, I have to have that wall. I have to do something on that piece. And you like kind of, you go after it, or you kind of approach them and then you say.
Yeah.
What's that process like?
It's tough. I definitely see spots a lot of times that I would love to paint on. But, you know, obviously the property owners, a lot of times they might not be into it. It's sort of particular, you know, what type of person or what type of business that it would be suitable for, who would even want it. It's not cheap. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into this. So, you know, got to spend some money on it. So you have to really want it if you're going to pay for it. But I see places all the time that I would love to paint on.
I admire artistry from anybody that can do anything like that, because if I try something like that, it looks like I used a spatula and gravy or something. So,
ding, 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 ding. That's the word of the day, spatula. Thank you very much.
Nice job, Pat. Nice job.
Joe likes to be spanked with a spatula.
I actually used a spatula to get the pot roast into the crock pot for the pulled pork tacos that we're going to use later. We're going to eat later for the game.
Joey, I would be remiss if I didn't remind you that you have questions you're supposed to be asking.
Yes, there it is.
Oh, thank you, Jimmy. Thank you very much. So, Mike, we have a thing for our podcast virgins. And it's a game that we play every time we have a podcast virgin on. It's a two-part question. You have to put yourself into your on death row, and the warden comes in and he says, "You have your death row meal, and death row sub. You have to tell us it can't be home cooked. It has to be death row. What restaurant would you order your death row meal from, and what would the order be? And what deli or restaurant would your death row sub be? And where it would be from, and what would the order be?"
Okay. Death row sub. I'm trying to figure out if I want a cheesesteak from Destino's or Italian from Scafani.
That was a gloss. That was a very Gloucester answers.
Cheesesteak, Destino's, or what's the other one? Italian from?
Italian from Scafani's.
So which
one? The meal. Before you told me that it couldn't be home cooked, I was going to go straight to my mother's. I would probably do a gnocchi, ricotta and gnocchi, and probably eggplant parm, I think. But from a restaurant, oh no, that's tough. I would want a steak. I think I'd want like a prime rib, kind of thing. Not sure where from. Ruth's Chris was one of the best steaks I've ever had. It's not a local spot, so I feel bad saying it, but.
That's okay.
Probably the best thing I've ever had in my life.
There you go.
I think we have another Ruth's Chris on the list already. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Mike, as a creative person, I have no skills drawing or anything like that, but, you know, as a creative person, how do you get hyped? Is it difficult for you? So, sometimes with creating like a podcast, for if someone asks me to do it and it's not necessarily a subject that I'm, you know, it's not in my wheelhouse, but like, you know, someone needs some promotion and I they ask me to do it. So there's that. Now, compared to something that's a passion of mine that I want to figure out creatively, like my energy level for creating something that is my own brainchild is like 1,000%. How do you get, what is your process to get hyped up for creating something for someone else's vision?
I really enjoy that actually. And that's a big thing for illustrators. So I just sort of fell into like this line of work with branding and murals. I didn't do anything like this in high school or in college, rather. Most people in illustration, they're kind of one of the clearest paths, I guess, to make money as an illustrator is through editorial illustration. for magazines, newspapers. So basically with that is you're reading a story, you're condensing it down, picking out the main facts and points, and making an image out of that. So it's basically problem solving, I feel like, you know, with an image. So I actually really like client-driven work because you're given, you know, you're given all these things, these different points and different ideas that they want incorporated into the image. So then it's my job, and I get, you know, hyped about figuring out how I'm going to put that into a visual language, what the client or the customer needs to see. So that's actually just, I enjoy doing that. Sometimes, a lot of times clients will think that it's maybe better for the artist if you're just like, I trust you, I love your work, do whatever. Not ideal in most cases. Most people, they've got something in their mind. They have some idea of what they might like. So the more you can give us as an artist of kind of what you're looking for, the easier it's going to be for us, because that's how our brains, I don't know, they work that way. Yeah. So
yeah,
so, no, yeah, I just naturally get on client-driven work.
When you're doing a mural, do you ever like just spark one up, throw your earbuds in, and just like go at it? How are you going to start murals?
Yeah. So I so a lot of artists, they have their professional work and then they might have their studio practice on the side. So back to what Joey said, that he can get really psyched up about his own, you know, passion projects versus it might be tougher for him to figure out, you know, what the customer wants this and how to put that together. It might take a little bit longer, then I'll get to it. A lot of artists might have their own fine arts, you know, studio practice where they just put in their headphones, draw, paint, or do whatever they want. This is a client-driven stuff. So I definitely have my own practice too, where I just go in, be it a mural or a canvas, panel, whatever. I have some basic idea or might just go right at it. So like that, something like that. That was a client-driven mural. But they just gave me, they said they wanted a Kraken, a lighthouse, and some like storm waves. So then I just started sketching. You know, it's pretty freeform at that point. And so once I get an idea in my head, I can pretty much just go for it. The live art that Joey saw me do, that 1623, that's all very kind of just like doodle. You know, just like whatever comes to mind just goes right on the canvas, and just each line just sort of plays off each other.
Do you feel like the Beverly and Salem area now is becoming like little Cambridge with the arts? Because a lot of Cambridge was a lot of mural driven stuff, and now with Montserrat being there, you see a lot more of that. It's sort of becoming a little mini Cambridge.
Yeah, there's a lot of great public work popping up around this area. Salem's, if anyone is interested in large murals, public art, specifically, I would check out the Punto, El Punto in Salem. They have like world-renowned artists that come, they fly in to paint like full sides of buildings. And these are artists that are, known throughout the world for people who follow or know about like street art and murals. Like
I've seen some of those in by Witch Doctor. By Witch Doctor on
That's great.
Exactly. All throughout there's dozens of murals down there from like
top. Do you ever do caricatures?
I did. I worked full time as a caricaturist for several years.
How long does it take?
A hall and.
How long does it
take? Usually, if it's live on the spot, it's usually like 10 minutes.
10 minutes? So we have a challenge. Can we get one of Joey?
No. Maybe Joey 15 years ago. You know, there's an image that I thought that he would be able to do that, like, would be absolutely – this is my dream. This is my dream logo. I'm going to show you my dream logo. Hold on.
All right.
This has been fun, man. There's a lot of great information. Thank you.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So see that right there?
Yep. I got it.
That logo, right? And then right along the top – I'm going backwards. Right along that edge, the top edge curved, just to say like my company's Captain Joe and Sons, and then just a broad stroke and then just like a little bit of white splashes of, you know, kind of like, what do you call them, shadows, or, you know, highlights. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my thing, you know, like a broad black stroke. Oh, sorry. Broad black stroke around the outline, red on the inside. Some, like, you know, like a, I didn't call it reverse shadows. Like, what would the white be called?
Oh, Chris is gone. Negative, I guess, maybe. But I know what you're saying. I could definitely, totally do that.
Yeah, that's kind of my, like, thing.
It's in my wheelhouse.
I think that would be cool. So there's that. So your website is Grimdrops, and it's with an S.com. Are you available? You know that work that you did for the 1623 Studios, the live thing. Are you available for hire to do those?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been, you know, less than during COVID. Obviously, I've done three like virtual Zoom parties, whatever. So I'm doing that. I want to get back into live art, obviously. So yeah, whenever that's that's kind of happening again, I'm up for it. But I'm definitely for hire. Murals, branding, live art, logos.
Hey, Mike, it was really great having you on. I'm a huge, huge fan. And we'd like to, you know, if you have, you know, something else big coming up, if you're interested in live streaming it, maybe we can come out there and kind of like set up a camera and live stream you in action. I think that would be fun for some of the viewers, because I'm just a huge fan, so.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely would be up for that, Joey. Let's find something in Gloucester, you know? You don't have to travel too far. You can have some work in Gloucester, finally.
All right.
Yeah, either way, no matter what, I definitely have
you. Do you design tattoos also, or?
Yeah, I mean, you could, you know, I can draw. I can let me know what you want. I can draw it out for you. The tattoo artist will tattoo it for you. But, yeah, I can definitely draw a tattoo.
All right. Great. Hello, Grim.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. Anything you want to add in closing?
Just thanks so much for having me on. Looking forward to finally have some workout up north. And look forward to talking to you guys again. It was a great time.
Great job. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you,
Mike. We'll see you, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Jeez, he was a great guest. Mike, we can't hit. Is Chris fucking with me? Is Mike not on, or is he? Talk, Chris.
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah.
Check 1, 2.
Okay.
No, I was going to say it would be great for him to do something at the wharf.
Yeah, but you know what? We don't have a budget for to do a mural. I would just like a little sketch. Like, honestly, I would like a little sketch with that lobster claw, the particular. I like that, like, rounded, big crusher claw with the Captain Joe and Sons like that. And I just have it in my head that that's what I would want. I would want that to be a sticker on the side of my truck.
Nice.
I just think it would be really cool on this, like, right on the door or something.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Or a tattoo on your ass.
Or that.
I think that's a bet on the, like, maybe the Super Bowl or something. If Joey loses, he's gonna get that tattoo on his ass.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. That's a lot. No. So I want to give a shout out. Last night, Chris had us over before we went to 525, and he pulled out the Tonneau cocktail, pumpkin sage old fashioned. And it was unbelievable. Joey Foote has – there it is. Before we move on to the next – yeah, right there. Hold on. Let me make Chris's screen large. Pumpkin and sage old fashioned. The two things I want to say about this. A, it was unbelievably delicious. B, I for years have been pronouncing old fashioned – incorrectly by calling it old fashioned with an E on the end. And see, it could be my favorite drink. And I don't know who thought to put pumpkin and sage in an old fashioned. I mean, whoever that is, and I have a post going up about this later, deserves all the gold stars, like all of them.
The pilgrims did, Joe.
It was a pilgrim. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for answering that. Joey Fort has a question for Scotty. Right there. Do you see it, Scotty?
Question for Scotty. Is it true that the tavern is going to open up again? You know what? I can't answer anything about anything right now for places opening or closing. It's so up in the air. The rumors are flying about all sorts of places in town. The closing of the Cape Ann Brewery. What's that going to be next? Is it going to be anything? The tavern. I know that the tavern holds a liquor license, and they have a function hall. And with the liquor license, they're supposed to be open operation for business within the guidelines of the state liquor laws. So if they're holding on to that license, my guess would be they have to open. So
have you worked in there, Scotty, the tavern?
I have. I've done many a weddings in there.
Yeah. Well, there's that.
And, Halloween, epic Halloween parties, different events, celebrations of life. It's a great venue.
Yeah, very nice. All right, should we get to our NFL? Do we have any other topics that I missed? Oh, Pat, you had one. When do you take your Christmas lights, and how do you dispose of the wreaths which have a metal backing? Oh, that's Paul.
That's actually Paul.
Yeah, so the big, everyone puts up their Christmas lights, and then you walk around and some of them disappear, and then some others disappear, and some people leave them up until St. Patrick's Day, and some people keep drinking the old-fashioned there. So I just wonder, what do you do? Do you have a rule about when you take them down?
Who wants to take it, Pat? What do you guys do, Pat?
Well, I kind of go on a calendar. I take the wreaths down. They stay up a little longer than the Christmas lights and decorations usually. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the month of January, probably. I would take it down and get ready for Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm. How about
and you? I don't know how to dispose of
metal wreaths.
Yeah, you can put the Christmas trees out on the curb, but the wreaths have the metal behind them, and the city doesn't take them. So,
right.
I know what I do with them, but what do you do?
Right. I even had one here in Gloucester. In New York, we just throw it into the woods.
Yeah.
What is the thing? Who wrote the thing about the prize being calls directly to the person?
Scotty.
What?
Because he's this week's prize.
Oh.
No. What I'm saying is you posted the website, and this was kind of a sidebar. It was like the business line itself. Could you post that? Because I do have a partner, and I handle the DJ aspect of it, and he does not.
Doing it right now for you.
All right, I got you.
But that's the website. I'm just looking for
I got you. I see what you're saying. I'm sorry about this, guys.
That's okay. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. So if you want to hire Scotty Mack, there's the information right there. Call him directly, 978-400-3360.
I'll tell you something about this right now. Thank you for posting that, by the way. I've gotten so many calls in the past week because they're starting to lift restrictions again. For all of the business that I've had in the past year that we're supposed to do, weddings and birthday parties, events, all occasions really, have gotten moved to 2021. I'm now getting calls for 2022. The dates that we've had to move from 2020 are now 2 years out. So if you're looking for an event, it's important. If you want to lock in a date, not just for myself, but for anybody you hire, for like a florist or a photographer, and that's in the wedding industry, but for anything, you can start thinking now, because think about that. We've had to push business from last year to the next year or two, and you're going to lose out on many dates. So it's important to kind of get that in now.
That's a good tip.
Pro tip.
Scotty, you said they're going to they're lifting restrictions.
They're going to increase soon to 50% capacity rather than 25, which is going to ease a little bit of the burden for some of the restaurants. And I believe that's coming as of, I think, maybe around February 9th or so. Right. I'm not positive on that.
Nothing with music, is there?
Nothing with music as of yet. And the way that I understand things, I was told at one point that I could DJ in a venue because I'm not talking on the microphone. They want to, I guess what they're trying to do is to prevent singers and horn players and from spreading the air out of the horn or from somebody singing, which makes zero sense because in most places you're going to be 6 feet apart and at 25% capacity, and everybody's yelling across the room just to talk to the next table over. So I don't see why venues shouldn't be able to police themselves and have live entertainment with no dancing. But if they want to pay a band to come in and play to entertain their guests while they're sitting down, they should be able to do that.
Well, tomorrow they lift the time restriction for the 9:30 thing is lifted as of Monday.
So yeah, that's the other thing, Chris, the time restriction. And I mean, as we get more and more vaccines out there, and again, I'm not a professional on this, and you can only take, you know, so much fake news and what's real and what's not. Just watch the news and look for the governors, or go to mass.gov and check it out.
Chris Thompson says, is KPM Brewing still going to make beer? I don't think so. How many shares do we have? I'm going to give a little call out right now. So if people haven't shared the podcast, I'm going to give you a few seconds to share it right now and then on Facebook by clicking the share button and then typing shared into the comments, and we will get you into the, what are our prizes, Pat?
I have the bookstore certificate from Paul. Thank you, Paul. That's what I've got so far.
Okay, that's what we got. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that's what we're going with. Thank you for that, Paul.
Yeah, and it's $25. So, and it'll be at the bookstore for whoever wins it.
Oh, No, don't say that, because then anyone will just go down there and say, I won, and then hit
click. No, because I call the books. I call.
With a name?
Yeah, I give them the name.
Okay, great. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I was going to go down and get it.
Yeah, they said that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Nina still had. That's right. Nina's Dogtown Bowl from last week. Oh, my gosh. That's right.
Okay.
That's awesome.
So there you go.
Thank you, Nina, for the reminder.
So, Pat and Jimmy, you're going to pick that up from Nina?
Or the winner can pick it up, however it works out best.
Okay, great. NFL predictions today. We have Green Bay versus the Tampa Bay, the Battle of the Bays. We're going to go around. Jimmy, well, who you got?
Okay, I've got Green Bay, and I think it's going to be a close one, and I'm going to go Green Bay by 3.
Okay, and the other game, Buffalo and the Kansas City?
Well, I got to lean toward Buffalo. I think I'm not going to call it a Cinderella team, but I know a lot of people are really rooting for them. Got to have some of my New York roots. Buffalo. But I think that's going to be a real close one. It's going to be a squeaker, maybe by 1 or 2.
I'm so excited for football today. Paul, who do you got today?
I go with Jimmy.
All right. Scotty?
I go Tampa and Buffalo in the Super Bowl.
Tampa and Buffalo. So you're not Green Bay. And Chris?
I think Tampa crushes Green Bay by 14, and Buffalo beats Kansas City by 7.
Wow.
So you're with me, McCarthy.
Yeah.
I watched that Green Bay game last. So here's my thoughts. I watched that Green Bay game last week, and that receiver, I forget the guy's name, they look like they're firing on all cylinders. Brady versus Breeze, they snuck past the Saints. They didn't dominate the Saints. They had four turnovers to win that game, in a game where Drew Brees could not get the ball downfield. They knew that they had to, the defense could stack the box because they knew Drew Brees couldn't throw long passes.
That was last week, Joe. That was last week.
Any given Sunday.
Listen, I'm rooting for Brady, but I think Green Bay is going to win. The By other game, many? What's that?
By how many?
Under 7. It's going to be a closer game. The other game, and plus all of those, the Tampa Bay players are playing down in Tampa nice and warm, and they're going up to the frozen tundra. And Jimmy, can you look up what's the temperature in Tampa Bay right now?
You got it.
Not Tampa Bay, Green Bay, obviously. They're playing in Green
right.
Bay. So they got to get those warm-blooded players are going to go up there. Anyway, the other game, Buffalo and Kansas City, it's hard to think that with
– Southern Florida's been in the 40s lately, though, too.
40 degrees playing football, and have you been outside today?
I have.
Okay.
It's 28 degrees in Green Bay, feels like 19, and it's going to snow for the next hour.
Sounds yep. like Gloucester.
Yeah. Well, 28, this is a huge difference between 28 and 20. And if there's especially if there's a stiff breeze. So I don't know how much it's 28 playing football. You could probably still play football. The ground isn't going to be at 28 degrees. The ground is not completely frozen. I don't think, I don't know if, what the conditions are, but I'm sticking with Green Bay there. And going on to the next game, Buffalo and Kansas City. It's hard to think that Kansas City is not a team of destiny. If Patrick Mahomes is at the wheel with all the weapons he has, I'd like to see Buffalo win, but I think it's going to be.
Kansas City play last week? Was that the Browns? Did they play the Browns last week?
Yeah.
And the Browns had a chance to win it right there too. So I mean, that was a very close game if they didn't fumble at the 1 yard line.
They had a chance to win it, but they also had Mahomes knocked out of the game.
Okay, so is he going to come back 100% after being knocked out? That's a big issue.
Well, I don't think it was physical.
That's what I'm saying. Head. You know, I mean, is he rattled or is he?
Hey, it's a good point. Listen, I want Buffalo to win, and I want Tampa Bay to win. I don't want anyone to tarnish Tom Brady's legacy.
Asking the hard questions, Joe. I'm not arguing with you.
No, I agree with you. I don't want Aaron Rodgers I don't want to hear that Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback ever because he won one Super Bowl, might have won one Super Bowl. I don't want Patrick Mahomes to be considered the best quarterback ever after like a couple of seasons. So that's my personal reasons for not rooting against those guys. All right, we're gonna do our Pat. How many do we have?
17.
17, sure. I love it.
Well, they probably thought it was a date with Scotty. That's why.
DC's crying outside the door. She wants to come in.
I hope Camaro wins this.
So, we have a third prize, a date with Scotty. All right, three prizes.
That is not happening.
Three prizes. Mike Berlino says Brown is out. Antonio Brown is out? Who's he talking
yes.
about?
Yes. Yeah, Ooh. Antonio Brown. Knee injury.
It's going to be Green Bay. All right, so 1-17 on my handy-dandy machine over here.
Yeah, Brown is out, but they had another player they added to the roster, though, that I'm trying to remember who.
It was a fourth-line guy, a McCarthy guy, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And he shocked the world.
Shocked the world. All right, here we go. We're going to go for the – okay, so we're going to – I'll explain it again. We pick 1, 2, and 3. If the person that is the second pick answers what they want before the first pick, they get the win. It's all in the comments. So it pays you to watch the podcast all the way to the end because you can jump ahead. All right, so here we go.
What's the prizes again, Joe? Run them down.
Paul Horowitz donated a $25 gift certificate to the bookstore of Gloucester. Nina Goodick donated one of her beautiful ceramic bowls.
They are beautiful. They are gorgeous.
They're stunning. They're unbelievable. And Scotty donated a date. And he will perform his dance routine.
This is all on the budget of Good Morning Gloucester, by the way.
The fourth one is if Pat is going to do a little dance in her kimono.
Want a cup. I want a ceramic cup from Nina.
Yeah, it's beautiful too.
I tell you what, I will allow this prize to happen if GMG covers it and picks up the expenses.
No, that's not going to happen.
There you go.
Oh, let's do it. Yes. Right. Joe will do it. Yes.
Chris will do it. Chris says he'll do it. Okay, first pick. Are we ready?
Number 11 is Philip Dench.
Philip Dench. All right, Philip, if you're watching, write in your what you'd like out of the three prizes right away.
Congratulations, Philip.
Philip Dench is number one winner. Okay, here we go. Number six is number two.
Number six is Michael Bertolino.
Mike Bertolino has got a golden horseshoe stuck up his ass.
Fire.
He's got a golden horseshoe stuck. Hey, Mike Bertolino, put down your picks for today for the football game so we can all win some money. Third pick. Number 10.
Number 10 is David Leader.
What's that?
David Leader.
David Leader, number 10. There you go. Mike Bertolino wants the bowl. He's in for the bowl.
Very okay. Disappointed, Mike. Very disappointed.
Michael got the books last week.
There you go. That's great. All right, guys. That was a great podcast.
Go. Hey, Pat, let me know who picks the bookstore, and I'll
go. Yep.
So Mike's going Bills and Green Bay. Let's see. All right, we don't have anyone saying typing in yet on the second prize. Maybe you know what I think we should do next week. I think what we should do next week is if the person we should make it that the person has to be to type in what they want. We'll give like an extra minute, and if they don't, we're just gonna pick we'll pick again.
That's probably a good idea next week.
Yeah, that's a great.
I just picked up a couple of Nina's bowls for a friend, and they are really beautiful.
Oh, they're beautiful. They're high quality. They're lifetime bowls. Those are bowls that you would have in your pantry for a lifetime. For your
on the windowsill, a little tchotchke. I love it.
Very nice. All right, Joey Foote says he agrees. All right, we're gonna finish up right here. 1, 2, 3. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.